Welcome to Come Follow Me Weekly. My name is Malia.
Hey, this is Jose.
We're excited this week to join you in talking about 1 Nephi 8 through 10, which is come and partake of the fruit. So this is really the story of the vision that Lehi had of the Tree of Life. So as I was studying the Tree of Life, a few parts stuck out to me, and so we could talk about those first. So we first hear that Lehi had a vision, and it said that it came to pass in chapter 8, verse 5, and it came to pass that I saw a man, and he was dressed in a white robe, and he came and stood before me. And so it talks about how the Savior came to him. If you look at the footnotes and go into Daniel, Daniel was talking about Christ. So we can assume that's the same man, right, that came to him in that vision. And in verse 6, it said, he said to follow him. And so it says that Lehi went and followed him, but in verse 9, it said that there was a dark and dreary waste. And it says that after hours of traveling, that he began to pray unto God and ask for mercy. Because it says he had spent hours in this darkness walking. So that was interesting, something I had never thought of before. And it says in verse 9, and it came to pass, after I had prayed unto the Lord, I beheld a large and spacious field. And it came to pass that I beheld a tree whose fruit was desirable to make one happy. And so at this point, we learn that he partakes of the fruit, and that's when his vision starts to open and he sees all these other things that played into the story of the Tree of Life. But I found it interesting that first he saw Christ and Christ asked him to come follow me, and then he followed him, but there was darkness around him that kind of, it sounds like to me, maybe he lost his way a little bit, or heard just because he prayed, right? He must have been nervous or whatever that caused him to pray to the Lord to have mercy on him. And that's when he saw the tree. So in verse 10, it says, and it came to pass, I beheld a tree whose fruit was desirable to make one happy. And today, actually, I was teaching the kids the Iron Rod song in primary. And that's actually the scripture I read. And I love the fact that it's to make us happy. And so let's talk about what that tree is with a quote by Elder Holland.
Elder Jeffrey R. Holland of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles taught that the Tree of Life represents the Savior and His atonement. The Spirit made specific that the Tree of Life and its precious fruit are symbols of Christ's redemption.
So we always talk about the Tree of Life, that it is the love of God, right? And I just saw that as His love and maybe eternal life. But in this quote, that love is really the love of Heavenly Father that He gave His only Son, Jesus Christ, to us. Elder Maxwell continues and says, further emphasize that partaking of the love of God means partaking of the blessings of the atonement. He said, the Tree of Life is the love of God. The love of God for His children is most profoundly expressed in His gift of Jesus as our Redeemer. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. To partake of the love of God is to partake of Jesus' atonement and the emancipations and joys which it can bring. And so in this vision, Lehi sees the end result, which is the Tree of Life. And then it's interesting that he looks out and he wants his family to partake, right? And so he sees them afar off and bids them to come. And then he starts to see all the pieces to this picture. I think it's very fascinating. One of the things that I noted in my journal when I've read this before was that Lehi didn't see the rod until he was already at the tree. So the reason why Lehi got to the tree was because he followed the man, it says, right? He followed Christ. And then he was stuck in darkness for a while, and then he prayed, and then he saw. It was illuminated in front of him, the tree. And he says, he saw the Savior and followed him. The role of a prophet is to help lead others that do not see to follow and read from the God's word, which is iron rod. So he sees Jesus and he follows him. And then after he prays, he goes in and goes to the tree. And then he starts seeing all these pieces and is able to teach the people around him, mainly his family, that they needed to follow the rod, to hang on to that rod and to come towards him, right? But there are all these obstacles in this vision. Let's talk about some of those obstacles that he sees.
Here we have in verse 23, and it came to pass that there arose a mist of darkness, yea, even an exceedingly great mist of darkness, insomuch that they who had commenced in the path did lose their way, that they wandered off and were lost. So we see here in the dream that Lehi had, this mist of darkness, right? So I can't imagine what that must feel like, but I've had experiences where, you know, we were camping. It was, you know, in the night, you could hardly see anything. And so even though there wasn't a mist around, there was no light. And so here, what Lehi is trying to say is, what are some of those things that in our life that we get subjected to, that there is no light, that the gospel of Jesus Christ and the light that comes from Jesus Christ, the Holy Ghost, if you're not part of the light, if the light is absent, it's not there, you have this darkness, and how does it lead you astray? Because you don't know where to go. You're completely blind. You're probably scared. You don't know what's going on. And so in this case, that mist of darkness was represented in the dream in that way. But there are many other ways that could happen in our lives, whether it's, you know, doing things that are of the world and not following the things that through the prophets, the Heavenly Father, you know, tries to teach us. And so in a literal sense, you know, where there's absence of light, and that's what that mist of darkness is.
So as he bids his family to come, and then he starts to see in 21, numerous concourses of people pressing forward as they commence to the tree, that's when the mists arise. So it's almost like here is the Savior, the tree of life, and then this darkness, you know, that it's trying to prevent them from going to the Savior. And it says that many did lose their way and were lost. But it says in 24, but some caught hold of the end of the rod, clinging to the rod. So not just holding, but clinging to the rod until they came to the fruit. And then what happens, right? Then they see a spacious building to the side. And I found it interesting that it was stood above, as if it were in the air, above the earth. And you think about the haughtiness of man and our pride and how we think we're better than others. I found it interesting that spacious building was kind of floating above, like it was above. And they were mocking and pointing fingers at the people, right? And so even those people that clung to the rod, but then started to feel ashamed after they took of the fruit, because the people were pointing at them and mocking them. And then they fell away into forbidden parts, it says in 28. But it says in 30, but those who caught hold of the rod and they continued to hold, it says that they held fast until they came forth and fell down and partake of the fruit. And then they had feelings to want to share that with others. And others did not. And so it's interesting because, you know, we're always supposed to apply the scriptures to our life. And what are those pieces depicting, right? In the Come Follow Me manual even says, like, that a lot of us see ourselves in many of those pieces, right? In the vision, or at different times in our life where maybe we are struggling with our testimony and we just were hanging on to that rod, but then we let it slip away because we listened to those people that were shouting at us, you know, or making fun of our testimonies or our beliefs. I've had that happen to me where people have made fun of the testimony I've had or the things I believe in. And I've had to just cling tighter to that rod and realize it doesn't matter what they say, that I know that what I have is the truth. And so that iron rod is so important, which is the word of God, right? The scriptures. And we have to be studying. It says in a commentary by Elder, I think it's Elder Bednar, he says, are you and I daily reading, studying, and searching the scriptures in a way that enables us to hold fast to the rod of iron? So those are three things he says we need to be doing. We need to be studying the scriptures. We need to be reading them and then searching them. And that way we're holding fast. It's interesting because I've had a very busy week with work, and I haven't had as much time to really study the scriptures. I've been reading it, but not really studying it the way I normally do. And I haven't been getting as much insight into things that even my work needs help with. And I found it interesting today, as it's Sunday and I had more time to read, how then all of a sudden I had floods of ideas that I needed to do for work stuff. Like the inspiration was coming. And we often get so busy that we forget to realize that the Lord will bless us in our temporal as well as our spiritual things if we'll put more time into holding to that rod and reading the scriptures.
So today in the Sunday school class, we are discussing this very topic. And one of the things that people were talking about and discussing was in the summer, we had what we called the Moroni's Quest. And this is the youth activity in the camp that they had for the stake and in a different stake. And so there was a lot of youth, a lot of leaders that went to an area in the woods, and then they built these, they constructed a whole, you know, scene of the Tree of Life, essentially, where they had a tree, they had put up lights and everything. And so, you know, at night, you know, it shone brightly, and then they had the rod of iron. And so where the rod of iron was, it was, you know, it was straight and narrow, right? So the meaning of straight and narrow, I looked it up, and it said that straight was like a narrow passageway of, you know, or water. And that's kind of like the meaning that is generally given. So what they did was they had the youth put blindfolds on, and then they had people either cheering them on to hold on to the iron rod, and or they had other voices telling them to get off the iron rod and to not hang on to it. And so a lot of the youth, you know, they stayed and held on steadfastly, because it was interesting how they were commenting that some of the voices were some of their leaders, and that they recognized those voices, and you know, some of them, you know, saying, hey, just hang on, just, you know, keep going. But then there was others where it was kind of like, you know, confusing, telling them no, to get off of it. But it was interesting, all of the different commentaries that were being made around how that whole scene played out while they were out there during this youth activity.
Just as Jose was talking about the narrow path, Elder Snow from the 70 once said that life is full of many intersecting roads and trails. There are many paths to follow, so many voices calling out, low here or low there. There is such a variety of volume of media flooding our personal space, most of it intent on herding us down a path that is broad and traveled by many. When pondering which of these voices to listen to, or which road among the many is right, have you ever asked yourself, as Joseph Smith did, what is to be done? Who of all these voices and roads is right? Or are they all wrong together? If anyone be right, which is it, and how shall I know it? My witness to you is that Jesus Christ continues to mark the path, lead the way, and define every point on our journey. His path is straight and narrow, and leads toward light and life and endless day. I love that, how he says that Jesus Christ will define every point on our journey, that he, anytime we're feeling confused or which direction we turn, we need to always ask the Lord, because there will be no confusion if we will just trust in him. Sometimes we don't see the end of the road, but we'll see the step right in front of us, and we take that one step, right? As we go towards the Savior. Because I know that happens a lot in my life, is that I don't know the end of it, of what I'm working on or what I'm doing, but I know the step I need to take today. And that needs to be enough for me to realize I just need to take the step today, and that tomorrow I'll know the next step. And sometimes we get the full picture and sometimes we don't. But when it comes to the Savior and things of the Lord, we need to be able to cling to the iron rod and make sure that we're focused on following him. Elder Worthland continues to say, you must hold firmly to the rod of iron through the mist and darkness, the hardships and trials of life. If you relax your grip and slip from the path, the iron rod might become lost in the darkness for a time until you repent and regain your grasp on it. So in verse 31, it's interesting. It says, and he also saw other multitudes, talking about Lehi, filling their way towards that great and spacious building. I find it interesting they use the word filling their way. They're not following anybody. They're not clinging to anything. They're filling their way. And when you think about that, that's what the world is, right? That instead of being guided by God, we're filling our way and using our natural man, which is a feeling, right? That physical side of us, the natural man, to follow the ways of the world. So it says they're feeling their way towards the great and spacious building. And that's very interesting. And we have to be very mindful of, is this the Lord impressing upon us, or is this a natural man that is guiding us towards a direction that we shouldn't go to? Which is why it's so important that we follow the prophet, right? That it says that he'll never lead us astray. As we listen and heed his counsel, we'll be able to return back to our Heavenly Father.
Elder Glenn L. Pace of the 70 talked about the different behaviors of the people of the world, or the great and spacious building, and the standards that God has set. It says, to those of you who are inching your way closer and closer to that great and spacious building, let me make it completely clear that the people in that building have absolutely nothing to offer except instant, short-term gratification, inescapably connected to long-term sorrow and suffering. The commandments you observe were not given by a dispassionate God to prevent you from having fun, but by a loving Father in heaven who wants you to be happy while you are living on this earth as well as in the hereafter. So, in essence, what we're trying to see here is that Heavenly Father has laid out the commandments. He's laid out the plan of salvation, the plan of happiness for us to have a way to be happy as we follow the commandments. And whereas with the world and the things that the enticings of the adversary, it's much easier. You don't have to work as hard for that. You can easily, you know, have pleasure. But as Elder Pace mentioned here, it leads to just very short-term gains. It's nothing lasting and will not help us in our eternal quest to return back to live with Heavenly Father. So I just see that as something that's very, very easy to do. Just follow, you know, the world and the things that they, you know, they shout from the great and spacious building, and very enticing to do, and you know, everything else that you know we're doing as we follow the commandments, it's being put down by the world. And so how do we keep ourselves motivated to keep hanging on and doing those things? Well, if you have your family, you know, your children, your spouse, you have that support, or maybe you don't have that support and it's just you yourself, knowing that, you know, the Savior will be with you, that you're never alone. And that's where you have to have that faith and hope in Jesus Christ. That's what's going to keep you going, is knowing that no matter what happens, that he has his arms extended every time. He'll never, never, ever leave you alone or leave you behind. It's at those times that you need him the most is when he is there. And so that just brings me to think, you know, of friends that I've had that have not kept up and followed the commandments, and they just, you know, let themselves go, and they just, you know, lost and didn't hang on to the iron rod. But it is also a blessing to know that Heavenly Father still, you know, loves us. He loves them. He loves each and every one of us. And that's why he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to come to earth to atone for our sins. And no matter what, he will always have his arms open to us. And we just have to remember that, never lose sight of those things. And so that is open for us. We just have to make our way back and hang on and cling on to that iron rod and always look towards the prize, towards the end, which is life eternal, and be with our families again.
Yeah, I love that. And in the end, that's what Lehi's biggest concern was, right? For his posterity and the people, was that they was for them to be able to return back to their Heavenly Father. And he was worried about his sons. It talks about that he exceedingly feared in verse 36 for those of his boys that were not listening. And isn't that what we fear as parents too? We hope that they will all follow the Savior and pray that will happen. And then we have to trust the Lord, and agency is mixed into this picture too. And so we don't always have control over those things. Actually, we have zero control. And that's, I know that as we just strive to do our best as parents to keep the commandments ourselves and set that example and show them the way, that there's always a way, even if they fall off the path, to come back, and that your love will always be there, because we are, as parents, are examples of showing them what a Heavenly Father, what Heavenly Father's love is, right? I mean, we're trying to show that love to our children and those around us, because like Jose says, we have many friends that have left the path, right? Have maybe even partaken of the fruit, and many of them have, and then have looked to the world and have been confused and have left. And we still need to love them, but we also need to focus on what's most important, and that is getting ourselves to doing what the Lord would have us do, and to ignore those things of the world that will pull us away from the Savior and away from His prophet and His church, and to stand with the leaders of the church no matter what. So grateful to talk about this, the tree of life, and the importance it is in our lives today. And love for any comments you guys have on this topic. It's one that we all know very well. We know the story very well. But I would love some insights on if you have noticed anything different as you studied this last time through. Come follow me.